allowing Mike Johnson to bring it to the floor. And all of this activity about vacating the chair is springing from Donald Trump.
Right.
So he's a puppeteer, and he doesn't mind shining a light on the strings. So he makes these people look bad. But why is it that he is so pro-Putin? I keep saying all roads lead to Putin when it comes to Trump. But this is deadly serious in the lives of the people who have lost their lives in the weeks and months that we have just delayed all of this. And in terms of our reputation in the world, it is greatly diminished by what is happening in the House of Representatives.
I agree with you that Trump is ultimately the one blocking it. But just in terms of how this might play out or might get to a vote that actually does authorize it, it seems to me that Trump won't change, right? I mean, ultimately, the Speaker of the House, who's the person who, you know, is elected to run the House, he's the one who has to bring it to a vote and just damn the consequences, right? I don't see another option unless I'm missing it.
Well, you've described it. I mean, the point is that you can bring a bill under a rule, which means you need a majority to pass the rule and to pass the vote. They obviously can't pass a rule, so you just bring it under a suspension. Well, you need two-thirds, and we would win a two-thirds vote. But at the same time, his people are saying, if you do that, we'll vacate the chair and you won't be speaker. Well, you know what? What are we there for? We're there to do a job, not to keep a job. And the job right now is to fight for democracy in the world, play our role in all of this, as well as, again, have a respect for the institution in which we serve, which, of course, is lacking on their side of the aisle. They're anti-governance.
So let me be clear. Failure to reauthorize 702 or gutting it with some new kind of warrant requirement would be dangerous and put Americans' lives at risk.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot, all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome to the War Room. It's Natalie G. Winters hosting, filling in for Stephen K. Bannon today, Thursday, April 11th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I feel like I've already heard the word democracy, national security, you name it. That seems to be their word of the day, the word of the year. They'll probably make it Merriam-Webster's word of the year. But you know what? It is all projection. You guys have known that, frankly, since we started this show. These people don't care about democracy. They don't care about national security at all. Just look at what they're doing. The southern border. It's absolutely ridiculous. And since this morning's show, which of course had great coverage of everything they've been trying to ram through with FISA, which is a Trojan horse, though I don't even really like the Trojan horse analogy, because at least the city of Troy had borders and gates. We don't even have those. But they're getting ready to reauthorize again for a second round of votes. And they're actually going to make the period of authorization longer than 2 years. I believe sources are saying it may potentially be 5 years, if you can imagine that. How's that? Big middle finger to your face. I would say it's an insult to our intelligence. It's absolutely ridiculous. It seems like every week there's an issue that we have to come on the show and cover and throw down and, of course, continue to call our elected Republicans, if we even want to call them that, to actually have our backs and actually do something, not just use the word democracy when we're not actually one, we're a constitutional republic. But all that aside, I would say one of the surefire ways that they're destroying this country, democracy, constitutional republic, whatever you want to call it, is, of course, through voter fraud. We always say they used to do it by, you know, the Dropbox thing with Mark Zuckerberg, though he realized that was bad for optics, that maybe pushing the whole metaverse stuff. So now he's sort of out of the game. Just sort of rebranding, never really went away. But now what they're doing is they're going to try to fill this country with illegals who are all going to vote. And you know how they're going to vote. They're going to vote for Joe Biden, the person who probably invited them here and is flying them to whatever city they want to go to. probably a swing state, if you ask me. Now, we have great new reporting from the Gateway Pundit, from the Hoft brothers, of course. They're the best. We love them here in the war room. But new documents sort of reporting showing that there's a loophole, though I feel like that is not the right word because I'm sure it's all by design, that is basically allowing illegal aliens to potentially register to vote. Can you walk us through, it's just a preposterous story, what exactly is going on here?
Yeah. Hey, Natalie, thanks for having me. It's great to be here, as always. Yeah, we noticed this a couple weeks ago, or at least a week ago, where there was this, actually we received this letter from an individual. It's written in Spanish. The individual was in Florida, and this letter basically recommended this person to sign up to vote. And as we put this pieces together, we could see what was happening. These illegals are crossing the border somehow. They're getting arrested, or they're getting some sort of paperwork at that border, asylum paperwork or whatever. Somehow they're getting moved to Florida. And once in Florida, then they start applying for all these, maybe they apply as soon as they cross the border. But once in Florida, they start applying for Florida's basically welfare programs. They'll sign up and get they'll use the same paperwork they receive at the border to get a driver's license or a social security number. Then they'll use that same paperwork as well to get some sort of health or food benefits. And then, once they sign up for the food or health benefits, they will receive then this letter in the mail. The letter says, here's what you need to do to sign up to vote. The letter does, it's in Spanish, by the way, and we put this up a couple, a week or two ago. And it's in Spanish, and it really encourages them to vote. But the highlight of the letter is that it doesn't say, hey, it's illegal to vote in the United States if you're a non-citizen. That's not clearly identified at any place. Then these people sign up, and apparently then they're going to be eligible to vote. So we think this is happening not just in Florida. It's probably happening in other states as well. Problem as well now is if this is the case, if this is happening across the board, this breaks all sorts of laws, and we listed a number of these regulations in that post that you showed there. The main thing too, though, is that these individuals that are working for the government and these various agencies that are especially pushing this, they might be entrapping these individuals. These individuals, if they do vote, it's a crime, and they could just say, "Hey, I didn't know. Nobody told me." And then that place is really the blame on the people that are sending them the paperwork and signing them up to vote. Those people may be committing felons. And so it's a dangerous situation all the way around, not just for the illegals, but also for those people that are signing them up. Of course, this all, breaks a number of laws in the country. And it's kind of scary and shocking to think that this probably not, it isn't just happening in Florida. You can bet that it's probably happening everywhere.
Well, that sort of begs the question I was going to ask you. Obviously, Florida is a swing state that we've seen it, I would say, go a little bit more solidly Republican in recent years. But I'm just curious if you have any insight on how large you think this goes. I believe I had, was it your brother? I'm probably talking about, I think it was the Michigan voter fraud. And I asked him sort of the same question. How big does this go? What other states are implicated in this? It sounds like you may not know, but from the documents you've seen, just from your exposure to this story, do you think that this could be touching all states?
Well, I think it is, just because it's probably not just happening here. We saw another piece. Biden came out with an executive order here recently, or not recently, but some time ago, where he's pushing all these government agencies to get into voter registration. So what's the deal there? How did some of these agencies have anything to do with voter registration? Plus, isn't that a state activity and not a federal activity in the first place? But no, we've looked at there in Florida. There's most people sign up via the driver's license bureau, so they get a license and then they automatically are pretty much signed up. And again, there isn't a lot of wording there that would protect somebody from signing up if they're a non-citizen. But we're seeing that there's hundreds of thousands of non-citizens that are signing up in Florida for licenses. So this isn't just a small deal. This is pretty significant. And that's just over the past like 3 years. Hundreds of thousands of illegals or non-citizens that are any of their licenses anyways, for sure, which then would most likely automatically even sign them up for to vote.
You guys have obviously covered so closely, so intimately, I'm sure, much to the dismay of everyone in the Biden regime, the ways that they've rigged these elections. We, of course, have done that here in the War Room, too. And they've sort of seemed to have gone with the, you know, ballot harvesting, right, trying to change the laws to almost legalize the fraud, particularly with mail-in voting. But you guys have even sort of caught them red-handed, no pun intended, in doing this just foul play with ballots. I'm just curious if you think that this sort of shows a pivot in their strategy to some extent as to how they're maybe going to try to rig the 2024 election, or do you think this is something they've always been doing, but just taking a more kind of meta bird's eye perspective on this approach, do you think that there's kind of seeing the writing on the wall, the lawfare is not working, they see the surge of illegals, or do you think it's just sort of a happy accident? What's your sort of general politicking analysis of why they're doing this now?
Well, you know, Natalie, I've talked to some others about this, and especially after that Mike Benz came out and was on Tucker, and then he's been on the War Room, et cetera. You know, he really kind of points out this whole deep state situation and how big it is. And we've got a guy, I've been working with a group of people. We're trying to figure out ways to prevent the 2024 election from being stolen. As you know, I've written three books on the topic on 2020. And one thing we're doing is trying to clean up the voter rolls. We've got some experts like Chris Jersky that are working on that. We're also working on there's some lawfare going on that where there's some attempt at least to try to clean up and maybe even get rid of some of these machines, which I think is absolutely important. But there's other things that need to be done as well. And in talking through that, one of our experts says this feels like a military op, and I think it does. The more you get into this, the more you see how sophisticated all of this is, how we just every day, it seems like here and on the War Room, we come up with new things. And this is even related to 2020. This is 3 years later. And it's like this is not something that was kind of haphazardly thrown together before the 2020 election. There's been a lot of thought and energy put into this, almost like we've talked about the color revolution that is occurring against the United States. This is how it appears. It's so sophisticated. Even now, there's even new machines. I mean, forget about Dominion. We've got these new systems for B Pro and No Ink and the poll pads and all this different technology now, and that's really frightening. And so, I think they're 10 steps ahead of us. Bringing in more new voters for Trump is a big part of it, and we should continue to do that. There's a lot more that we have to really, in my opinion, consider before we can ever, you know, sleep well at night thinking that we're going to have a free and fair election in 2024.
We have about a minute. I know it's hard to condense into that period of time, but what do you think are the primary issues, whether it's President Trump's team, just the grassroots, the War Room posse, that we need to be dialed in on coming into November?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think one thing for sure is these voter rolls. We need to clean them up, and there's efforts going on. I know another group in Michigan that's maybe working in another state that's doing some work. We've got this Chris Jersky guy who's gone through Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. There's some great work being done there, but there's a lot more that needs to be done, and it needs to be consistent and continue on a daily basis almost, because these things can change so quickly. We also know that there's things within the machines that probably we can't even control. We have to figure out a way to work around that, because I don't see by 2024 that we're going to get rid of the machines. I think that's probably realistic. So we have to figure out ways that we can prevent the steal with the environment that we have. And so I don't know exactly all the things that we need to do, but there's a group of us that are trying to figure that out, and we'll keep you posted.
And Joe, if people want to stay posted, follow you, get the Gateway Pundit, where can they go to do all that?
Yeah, you can go to the Gateway Pundit, and also I've got a site, joehoff.com, which is a separate site now where I'm sharing some of my interviews. I have the Joe Hoff Show on Lindell TV, and then I also am sharing information on my books and how to get those, the steal from about the 2020 election. So it's a great spot to go to. Thanks.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us. War Room Posse, we'll be right back. We got Dr. Gorka joining us right after the break.
The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's Natalie G. Winters, still hosting, still filling in for Stephen K. Bannon. Our next guest, who I guess I can't call Dr. Gorka because I'm rejecting his offer of friendship, but I do it out of respect. I grew up listening and reading all these people's websites and their books, so it feels weird to call them friends, but they're wonderful people who I always seem to bump into at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know where Sebastian finds the time to always get down to Mar-a-Lago. He got several shout-outs from the president last night, though I do think your comparative advantage is that you're like 7'3". So if there's anyone in a crowd that he's going to see, it's probably going to be you. No matter how high my heels are, I will never be able to tower over you.
You're like wearing 12-inch platforms whenever. I don't know how you don't break your neck and fall in the swimming pool. But yeah, I do have an advantage, although the president does like to remind me that you're not as tall as Barron, which is true. But I do have a bit of an advantage. You may call me in public on air, Dr. Gorka, but when we're off air, I consider you a friend, and I find it rather insulting, Ms. Winters. Should you call me something else apart from Sebastian and Seb, like your boss Bannon does?
I like the term misinformation, but I will digress.
I love misinformation. Are we gonna talk about your swag and your merch now for the next 15 minutes? Buy her merch, and when you go to MyPillow, use code Gorka. That's all you need to do. Buy misinformation's merch, and the only promo code you need on War Room is Gorka. Right, Steve?
Well, I like how you don't even try to come for our Birch Gold sponsorship. You don't even try
Next week, you won't have it. It'll be me. It'll be Birch Gold. I'll be rolling around in a gold-plated Rolls Royce. You're done. You're toast. I'm sorry.
We'll see. You guys know which promo code gets the better deals.
They know. They know which side of the bread is buttered.
You know who would know the answer to that is probably the deep state, because they've probably tapped the phones of everyone who watches this show, myself, you, Steve, Trump, probably. Well, I know they did to President Trump. So they know which promo codes we're actually using, but I don't think that's why they're fighting so hard to reauthorize.
I doubt they're big fans of Mike Lindell. I'm not sure the FBI are big fans of Mike Lindell.
Gut feeling, I'm going to go with no. But speaking of the FBI and all the ways that they're trying to, of course, stop President Trump from getting reelected, stopping the America First agenda from getting implemented. We know the Biden regime has already tried to pregame a lot of the sort of deconstruction of the administrative state that President Trump has outlined in Agenda 47. But one of the key components of this, at least from the sort of congressional bureaucratic side, I would argue, is, of course, FISA. We know they killed the vote yesterday, but it seems like they're already trying to bring it back. We know the deep state does not give up on the first try. They never go away. They just come back harder. I think the reporting is that they're actually going to try to authorize FISA for a longer duration than the initial 2-year period. So I'm just curious your thoughts as someone who has, unfortunately for you, intimate knowledge of the deep state, having worked in the Trump administration, where you think the FISA fight's going to end up, if you think they're going to give up on it, or where you think we're going to end up on it.
Look, I don't do predictions because nobody's held predictions. If I say X on, you know, today, hosts don't say 6 months later, Gawker, you said this. So there's no point in doing predictions. I don't really know. I'm incredibly disappointed we're even discussing it. The whole FISA structure should never have been created. We have the tools available. And the idea that there is, it reminds me of the Star Chamber. I mean, the idea that there's a secret court, the identities of the judges are classified. I mean, that's Banana Republic stuff. And then the person who's being targeted is an American citizen, but they don't have actual representation in the court and they don't know it's happening. Well, then it's not a court. It's just the deep state doing its thing. And let's remember what FISA was created for. FISA was created for those instances where it's demonstrable that a terrorist organization like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS, or an enemy state like the Russian Federation, like North Korea, like Iran, is working with a U.S. national. It's not for spying on Carter Page or Mike Flynn or President Trump because they're not members of the deep state and because they represent an America First agenda. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, the FISA court is an abomination that has been abused hundreds, if not thousands of times. It must be dismantled. And it's just one slice of the problem. This week, we had an amazing all-day symposium. I really have to doff my cap to the Heritage Foundation. I proposed a whole-day seminar on weaponization, the deep state. They did it. They had FBI whistleblowers like Garrett O'Boyle, like Stephen Friend there. And when those individuals tell you on the inside, the people who said, hang on, you're targeting Catholics because they're going to Latin masses, when they stood up, weren't protected by the Republicans in Congress, were targeted to this day by the FBI and the DOJ. You come to one conclusion, Natalie. Sorry, misinformation. You come to one conclusion. It's not salvageable, Natalie. The FBI, and they said this, these brave FBI whistleblowers says, you can't fix it. It has fundamentally been perverted and infected, and it is a Gestapo-like police state entity for the Democrats. So, no, FISA, get rid of it. FBI, dismantle it. Give its CICT missions, its CRIM missions to other agencies. But if you don't have, you know, thousands of FBI agents going on strike and protesting on how they're being used last Thursday, right, to arrest and convict a 73-year-old grandmother because she walked into Congress on January the 6th and said prayers for the Republic, and now she's facing 2 years in prison because she prayed inside Congress. I'm sorry, Pfizer is the least of our problems.
I'm just curious. I wasn't going to ask you this, but you piqued my interest. Do you think that the FBI has always been weaponizing against whatever the sort of older form of the MAGA movement was, whether it was the Tea Party, their predecessors, to the level that they have been now? Or do you think that they see the threat that our movement poses to their very existence, and that is why it's sort of this really knives out fight to the death, because they know that if Trump wins, that they're not going to have the free reign that they have enjoyed under these establishment type presidents that we've had for decades?
Look, if you talk to the real experts, you know, the likes of the late, great M. Stanton Evans or Mike Waller today, you understand the FBI's always had problems, whether it's penetration by Soviet agents or, you know, the useful collaborators of our enemies. I mean, just look at the Hansen cases. Look at, you know, the people who were actually betraying Americans during the Cold War and after the Cold War. But when it comes to targeting conservatives because they're conservatives, I don't think it's ever been this bad. I tend to agree with the great John Solomon and also those who have really said that it comes with the Obama administration. I mean, what Lee Smith has got documented, Greg Jarrett, John Solomon, is that the tools used to promote, you know, orange revolutions abroad and to target conservatives in whatever it is, Hungary, the Ukraine, or anywhere else. When the Tea Party rose, that's when those tools began to be turned against Americans. John's superb on this, as is Lee, as is Greg. This is when the tools to destabilize conservatives abroad were used to target the MAGA movement because they saw President Trump and his voters as a threat to their sinecures and their power. You know, it's the Victoria Newlands, it's the Andy McCabe's, it's the Peter Strokes, it's the Brennans who said, hang on a second, tens of millions of Americans want to live in an actual republic. That's a threat to our power centers. And so I would say the really serious rot starts with Obama.
And we've got about 2 minutes before we got to jump to break, but it seems like, I mean, you always turn on MSNBC. They're always lamenting about democracy. We're always quick to point out we're a constitutional republic. Yeah. But do you think to sort of merge these narratives together? Because I feel like it was around Obama years that they started to really, really care about democracy, right? And I always think projection is sort of their North Star, right? The axiom that guides them.
Yes.
You know, what do you think this whole democracy narrative, the idea that we are a threat to democracy, serves with their broader agenda of government weaponization?
Well, it's very easy. You just have to, you know, add a little, you know, modification to the end of that word. It's not democracy that's in peril. It's the Democrat Party. That's what's in peril. It's the Democrat uniparty rhino stranglehold on power in America. That's the real threat. But, you know, I'm shocked. I played the cut on my radio show, America First, today, when Jessica Tarlov, you know, the Democrat of the Fox 5 show, says yesterday, yeah, this Trump threat to democracy talking point, it's not really working. Wow. The next question is, what are they going to do now? If the threat to the Democrat Party talking point isn't working, what else are they going to resort to, Natalie?
I was going to say Dr. Gorka, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
You can. We're on air. It's public. You may.
Dr. Gorka.
Ms. Winters.
Or what President Trump described you last night as very loyal, or the most loyal.
The most loyal.
Yeah, there you go. The most loyal guest that we've had on War Room. I want to hold you through the break because I want your thoughts. The Atlantic tried running a hit piece on Matt Gaetz, except the title was Matt Gaetz is winning, which I think that is our thesis here in the War Room. It's a great picture of him. He's like standing in the halls of Congress, looks like he owns the place, which he basically does. But of course, Kevin McCarthy is upset about that. I guess he's attacking him. We'll get you after the break to join us. But in the meantime, War Room Posse, don't use promo code Gorka. Now that he's off air, he can't argue with me. You got to use promo code War Room, but you also go to birchgold.com/Bannon to get the latest installment of the End of the Dollar Empire. Like I always say, my favorite War Room Posse members are those who bring the printed out copies to our live events for Steve to sign. So maybe do that just in time for our Vegas Force Multiplier Academy. We'll be right back.
Criminals have access to more advanced tools than ever, and now they're using them to steal our most valuable asset. That would be your home. In Miami, an elderly woman didn't find out an empty plot of land she owned was stolen until she went to pay taxes. A stranger had already paid them, and property records showed she had sold the land. They had forged her signature and registered a fake deed. How scary is that? That's why you need to get Home Title Lock today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and immerse yourself in this information. Think that it can't happen to you? Well, you are wrong. When's the last time you checked your home's title? All a thief has to do is forge your signature, refile as the new owner. And once your home is not in your name, it can get really ugly, and it can get really ugly fast. They can take out equity loans or even sell your house to an unsuspecting buyer who shows up at your door one day and says, hey, this baby is mine. Don't think your home insurance policy will protect you. It won't. Check your home today for free when you get to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Bannon at signup. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon at signup. You'll get a free scan of your home's title plus 30 days of protection totally free. That is 30 days of protection totally free. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon. Do not let these thieves steal your home in broad daylight.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm glad Dr. Gorka managed to find time in between his Mar-a-Lago appearances to join us here on the War Room. We always and getting right, hang, shout hang, hang outs from President
hang,
Trump.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Is it true or is it not true that every time I've been at Mar-a-Lago in the last few weeks, you have also been there?
It is true, but I do live in Palm Beach.
Oh, that's true. I still think you're in Chicago. My mistake. Sorry.
I graduated college a whole, what was it, year ago, 2 years ago? No. Anyways, back to the fun stuff. We'll put ages and numbers aside because I think that was what Kevin McCarthy was trying to not do. When it came to Matt Gaetz, of course, spreading more lies about him, right? And look, we could talk about Kevin McCarthy and how much of a joke, a clown, a sham he is to the Republican movement. But we don't like to punch down, only sometimes here in the War Room. But just sort of as a testament, right, when we see Mike Johnson re-upping all this FISA stuff, the only two things he's ever called, I believe, whole conference sessions, phone calls, you know, backdoor, really hardcore whipping on have been Ukraine aid and the FISA stuff. Not necessarily the priorities of the MAGA movement, yeah. I would say, at least certainly not the priorities here that we, you know, push in the War Room. When you see people like Kevin McCarthy who, you know, resign from Congress, they go and now they start attacking Matt Gaetz, accusing him of what the Biden DOJ was, which they ultimately cleared him of. Doesn't it just proves that the swamp, the deep state exists and they just cannot stand for patriots like Matt Gaetz, people like President Donald J. Trump, people like your wife, who congratulations for taking over, I believe the Fairfax County GOP, but they just can't let us win. Your thoughts on what Kevin McCarthy said?
I mean, Kevin McCarthy, you know, what is it, seven circles of hell for Dante? I think he's going to be, you know, in circle eight. The fact that right after he's kicked out, he goes to the Oxford Union. And if you haven't seen this, I recommend it to all the posse. And in an international audience outside of America, he says, "And I look at the Democrat Party, and it looks much more like America than my old party." I mean, that's the guy who was Speaker of the House 3 minutes ago. He says the Democrat Party is more representative, the party of transgender mutilations and open borders and, you know, kissing up to China. And that's the party he feels is more representative. And then this latest thing, I hope Matt Gaetz sues Kevin McCarthy into the ground and then salts the earth to say publicly, "Yeah, Matt, I didn't lose the speakership except for a guy who had sex with a 17-year-old. Kevin McCarthy, you're scum, utter, complete scum. And stop for a second. This isn't just one rhino. This isn't some, you know, Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney. This is the man who, albeit for a couple of months, but nevertheless, rose to Speaker of the House of Representatives with the letter R after his name. And you're right. The DOJ that put Peter Navarro in prison dropped the fake charges against Matt Gaetz. But now Kevin McCarthy, no, you're a pederast, Matt Gaetz. You're a pedophile. These are the, you know, the left are lunatics and they hate America. But what's worse than that? Somebody who pretends to be a patriot and is actually a skeezer scumbag.
Remember the days when we had statesmen, not grifter politicians, who were just looking to make a quick buck, a viral Twitter clip, or frankly, more sinister, destroy the country because they hate America and all the values we stand for. We could go off on that for hours, but I know you probably got another event at Mar-a-Lago that you have to go to. Although that is actually what we call projection because I have to go to a thing at Mar-a-Lago after this. I'm just going to dox myself right now. But Dr. Gorka, if people want to follow you, get the show, use promo code War Room, where can they go to do all that?
War Room, spelled G-O-R-K-A. I'm everywhere except the fascist of YouTube, so follow me on Rumble. The website is sebgorka.com, Twitter, Truth Social, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, you name it. And for my Substack, I had a brand new article went up the day before yesterday. Just go to sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. You should just like, I mean, if you've got 18 million, I mean, you should just buy Mar-a-Lago, shouldn't you? You're there so often.
I think War Room should pool all our assets and buy. It'd be the best deal ever. We could open the Gladiator School there for 18 million. That's a steal, if you ask me. I'd say it's worth $1 billion. That's a Steve decision. I don't have the authority. I can't even blow the brakes, but maybe one day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Natalie. God bless. Thank you.
Likewise. Now, we got a cold open for our next guest. I'm not going to call him Dr. Bratt because I'll get yelled at. For Dave Bratt, the one and only, Denver, Palm Beach, whoever is producing the show, if you want to roll it, let's go.
And are rates going to have to go up?
Can't they just raise
them? Are we going to have to put rates up because this economy is so hot?
Yeah.
Look, the economy is hot. Inflation has come down enormously. Obviously, we're in the 3% range. But it is just stuck at the moment, and it's not getting better. I don't believe there are a few people. Larry Summers said there was a 15 to 25% chance maybe rates would have to go up. I think that's pretty unlikely. I think what we're looking at instead is simply delaying rates coming down. People thought rates might start to come down as soon as this June. I think that's clearly off the table. Yeah. We might be looking at the fall. We might be looking at November.
What happens if they raise them right now?
If they raise them right now,
it goes higher.
If they raise rates right now, it's obviously bad for consumers paying higher interest rates on your credit cards.
Lower them. What happens if they lower them? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Start again. If they lower them, you run the risk that you accelerate inflation more, that you make a hot economy even hotter.
I mean, the economy is already hot. We've been talking for a year and a half about the resilience of this economy.
Yeah.
I've asked you this a dozen times. What continues to drive this economy?
The economy is incredibly hot. I think it's driven by a few things. One of them have been a number of the government programs that we've put in place, the IRA bill, the climate change bill, the Build Back Better infrastructure bill, things like that, the CHIPS Act even, have created a lot of demand. When you look at what's going on out there, these facilities, for example, wind and solar power facilities are being built, chips factories are being built, all that is stimulating the economy, and the economy has clearly outperformed what anyone thought. The second thing is, and I don't want to get technical, but there's a theory that the economy doesn't respond as strongly as it used to higher interest rates. For whatever set of reasons, raising rates, which is what the Fed obviously did for a good while, doesn't necessarily seem to be slowing the economy as much as people would expect. So yeah, the economy is consistently outperforming, and that shows up in the inflation data, and it shows up in the possibility, likelihood that rate cuts will be delayed.
Trump is such a crazy person. It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy.
Does he hate Trump? Is it feeling neutral?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates, doing the opposite that Trump wanted.
So the feeling is this, that we don't want Trump to be in government.
Right.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist for the Federal Reserve, says Jerome Powell wants to go down in history as someone who, quote, held the line against Donald Trump, unquote.
He's doing it for the legacy. He seems to be remembered in history as somebody who held the line against Trump and somebody who helped the economy.
So he wants to preserve his legacy as someone, even though he's Republican on paper, Democrats don't love him.
Yeah, because he's responsive. Under Powell, the Fed has changed to think about equity issues, like racial issues, think about wealth inequality as part of the mandate, as part of the things we're following. Think about climate change.
Aurel Hismo says, quote, people think conservatives are dumb and that the, quote, Federal Reserve would discriminate against those conservatives depending on how out there they are.
People think they're dumb.
Would they be, discriminated against?
It depends on, how, out there they are.
He's doing it for the legacy. As somebody who held the line against, Trump and,
Can you say end the Fed? I know we certainly say that here in the war room. Of course, that clip plays quite nicely with President Biden, or regime leader Biden, I don't think I ever call him president, maintaining he thinks there will be rate cuts by the end of the year, or I guess his handlers made him say that, despite new CPI consumer price index numbers showing that inflation is likely reaccelerating here. Now, anytime we play any MSNBC clips on the economy, I always feel like I get whiplash because there's so much double speak and just reorientation of words, and they just lie to your face because they can get away with it. I love when he goes, well, I don't want to get too technical. It's like, no, we can handle it. We got it. Give it to us straight. But they can't, because all they do is spin and lie. But someone who never does that is, of course, Dave Bratt, the one and only. If you want to walk us through what we just sort of watched, and more importantly, the CPI numbers, how it kind of goes against what Joe Biden said.
Sure. You bet. Let's start with Ratner on the resilience of the economy. Right. Of the resilience, not of the stock market. He said the resilience of the economy. And then Joe came in and he talked about the economy that's outperforming. OK, so if you take it, why is it outperforming? Why the economy is not resilient when you throw $2.5 trillion of government borrowing and debt on your kids? Take that money in this hand and shove it over here into government spending, which counts as economic growth. Of course, you can say the economy is growing, but it's just the government, right? The government just borrowed that money, shoved it into government spending, which counts as economic growth. And so they have the gall to say this is economic growth and resiliency, et cetera. And so on previous shows, I've just said, you know, if you spend 2.5 in government spending, in macroeconomics 101, you double that for the multiplier, right? The Keynesian multiplier. That's what all these leftists believe. So we'll just use that. So 2.5 trillion times 2 is 5 trillion. Just common sense. What do you think would happen to our resilient economy if you took $5 trillion out of a $30 trillion economy, right? Just think about that for a minute. What would happen if you took out 1/6 of the economy? Well, instead of growing at these wildly high numbers of 2 to 3, which aren't that high, you'd be shrinking of at least by 5%, right? You'd be in a 5% recession, and I'm being ultra fair and conservative. The numbers are way worse than that. I'm going to get to Larry Summers a second on that. But let's just put up chart one, Denver, just for a little humor as we transition over to inflation. So this is from Zero Hedge. And the quote that goes with it is good. This is literally called gaslighting. And I'm not sure if they can move that chart down at all to show the headline. But I owe all this one to Zero Hedge. Go look at them today. We got to the bottom of today's dovish PPI, the producer price index, right? The CPI is the traditional measure for the consumer. This one is the producer price index. According to BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, you paid 3.6% less for gas, even though you actually paid 6.3% more for gas. Let me read that last one. That's the summary. You paid 3.6% less for gas, even though you actually paid on the right 6.3% more for gasoline. So yes, gasoline prices have been seasonally adjusted. And as Steve and I and EJ and everyone have pointed out, these guys are adjusting the data. They never tell the truth. So just believe your lying eyes when you go to the gas pump. And let's just go to the second chart right off, and then I'm going to talk about it.
I'm going to hold you there because we got to jump to a good break, and I can think of no better way to entice the war room audience than to stay with your second chart. I like the gaslighting name. Very good.
This
but war room posse. This could also just be a perfect ad as to why you got to go to birchgold.com/Bannon to get the latest installment. See, you got Dave Bratt co-signing on it. You know it's good. Birchgold.com/Bannon. We'll be right back after this break.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome back to the War Room. We still got Dave Brat with us, and we'll have Mike Lindell just after him. But Dave, before I let you go, I know you had one more chart you wanted to get through. So if you want to walk us through, take your time, but walk us through those numbers.
Good. Yeah. But Denver wants to post this one. The significance of this is who it came from. And it came from Larry Summers. Everybody Google him. I'll post the stuff at Brat Economics. He was, you know, youngest guy ever to get a PhD at Harvard, you know, whiz kid, went on to be president of Harvard, ran the World Bank. He and three others have written an inflation paper about a month back. The headlines are finally coming out. He is one of the first, to his credit, that mainstream, you know, Ivy League economists, they've been very quiet with the truth. But he's the one that came out a couple years back and said inflation is not transitory. Now he's come out with an important paper that says it's probably double what you think it is. Right back when we had inflation of 9, he says if you would have used the old way of calculating the interest costs on cars and housing, and thrown them into the market basket, the true price of buying a house, the true price of buying a car, which it is, right? It's part of the price. Those prices would have been, instead of going up 9%, they would have been going up 8%. And he gives example after example, but this chart sums up by his view of what may be coming next. And by the way, he also broke the news that the next Fed rate change may be to increase interest rates, where everybody said, you know, a year ago, the Fed was going to lower rates 6 times. So here's the chart of the last decade in the yellow on that chart, 2013 to present. So the inflation rate at the end of that gold bar is going down. Everyone's getting, you know, happy, and we have a bull market. But look up at the top. He says our present yellow chart is mirroring the 66 to 83 trend for inflation. And look what happened next in that gray chart. Inflation goes up another mountain, right? So we're coming down right now. Everybody got happy. But now inflation in the data is turning the corner. It's going up. I just showed you the gaslighting as one little example. But we have a ways to go. And so check out my charts. But when Larry Summers puts something out, he's got three other major heavy hitter Ivy League economists signing on with him. And he's been more credible than the rest. It's stunning that the rest of the economics profession never deals with these populist issues. They hit you in the pocketbook. They won't deal with having $35 trillion in debt and over $1 trillion in interest costs right now might affect the real economy. Nothing to say about it. Do you think the border invasion of 10 million illegals might affect the labor markets, might affect the economy? Not a word about it from the elite economists. So Summers gets to take a bow for this paper, but he's going to come under huge pressures to back off. And so just go to Brat Economics, and I'll post these articles and show you all the highlights, and you can go read in detail yourself. Thanks for having me on, Natalie.
Of course. And if people want to follow you, get all the updates, all the economic analysis. One more time, where can they go to do that?
Yep. It's Brat Economics on Getter. And for those who can't get Getter, just go to X. And I've got most of the charts there as well. Brat Economics.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Natalie.
You know what happens when members of the establishment speak out against their own? they get indicted. Larry Summers will probably get indicted for some random crime that he didn't commit, for daring to defy Joe Biden. Mark my words, start the clock. Someone who knows very well the wrath of the Biden DOJ, the deep state, and probably, I would say, is probably the most tapped man under FISA. I think you probably wear that with, as a badge of honor. You wear that with pride. Is Mike Lindell, who has actually some good news about the Supreme Court case that you're bringing. Some states are joining onto your amicus brief. If you want to walk us through the developments.
Yeah, it's really great, everybody. The GOP, the Georgia put in an amicus brief earlier in the week. Arizona did it yesterday, and today Delaware joined. We hope that we have all the states by next week, because next week on the April 19th is when the Supreme Court considers the case. And I don't know what that, I guess that means that they, are they going to take it or not? And we all need to pray they take it. But the more amicus briefs that are filed, it tells that the people all want, they all want this looked into. Remember, these machines, the new evidence that was put into this Supreme Court complaint had decryption keys inside the machines. You guys, this is like having a vault at a bank, and you got the combination written on the vault, or having an ATM card, you got your password written on, you pass out the card. You can't make this stuff up. So we're praying for that, but great news that all these states are jumping on board with amicus briefs, and that's really, really encouraging. And I'm looking forward to things starting to change. We've got to secure our elections and save our country.
It'll be a tough act to follow in terms of good news for the War Room posse, but I'm sure you have some deals, discounts, new products, you name
Absolutely.
It, that'll excite them even more. Let's see. We'll see.
Yeah. This is the biggest deal in the country, because it's free shipping week for the War Room posse. They're the only ones in the country that get this exclusive free shipping. If you go to the website, you can get all the deals we have, like these go anywhere pillows, 2 for $25. And there you see it, everybody. There's the bathrobes. Remember, those are open box special, $39 a piece. Those are $179 bathrobe. We still have a few of them left. Get them. They're for the War Room posse. Get yourself a robe for $39. You can't beat it. The same way with the $9.50, the men's slippers, slides are for $9.50, free shipping. And then you have the biggest bed sheet sale ever for as low as $25. We've got our sandals, slides, and slippers that came in $25. There's your multi-use My Pillows there. Over 50 to choose from, 2 for $25. Then that you have the My Pillow Premium. Remember, we sold over 80 million of them, $25, king or queen, doesn't matter. All these specials for the War Room posse, the six-pack towels, $25. The kitchen towels, all the colors came in, $25. You got 9 colors to choose from. They just came in today. All the colors are back in stock today, as of this morning. So my operator standing by, 800-873-1062. Help them out, too. They work off commission. Remember, the IRS tried to stop them, and they didn't get away with it. So help them out. It's a win-win. Natalie, God bless you and the War Room posse.
God bless you too, Mike. Thank you for joining us. And Warren Posse, thank you for joining me today. Don't worry, Steve will be back. I will be hosting the 5 p.m. again tomorrow too. But in the meantime, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Stephen K. Bannon will be back in his rightful role. You guys have a wonderful evening, and thank you for joining me.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest, from the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care. Visit JaceMedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jase, J-A-S-E, jasemedical.com. Get the Jase case and get it today. Action, action, action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.